If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts, right, or good things to you who belong to him? He is a good, good Father. And he's a father to the fatherless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And even when we don't understand with our mind, we trust with our heart. His heart is good. Hallelujah. The word that we received this morning concerning the bread, if you ask your Father for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. And I believe if we're seeking the heart of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen, you're not going to get something bad. You're not going to get something evil. You're not going to get a counterfeit. If you pursue the Lord Jesus, amen, then you'll receive of his Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit offends our minds, offends our souls. And sometimes he doesn't do things the way we expect him to do things, or the way we, you know. So God is sovereign. He is Lord. He is Father. He's created all things. Amen. And through the Son. And so we were actually designed, created for him. People are designed and created for God. So if we don't have a relationship with God, we live dysfunctionally. We live outside of our purpose. And all of us, of course, were born sinful. In Adam, we received that Adamic nature, that fallen nature, passed on generationally through initial sin. But Jesus came to redeem us back to the Father, to restore fellowship. The title of the message this morning is Knowing God as Our Father. And often our experiences with our earthly fathers shape our concept of Father God, whether that's good or bad. Like the word came forth that maybe your earthly father gave you a stone instead of bread, but your heavenly Father will give you what you need and what's good for you. So if we had a strong, loving, and compassionate earthly father, it might be easier to embrace this biblical presentation of God as a heavenly father. And some people have grown up with maybe cold or distant or angry or critical or harsh fathers. And so their concept of God as a heavenly father is often shaped by their earthly experiences. And yeah, so sometimes our earthly experiences can impact our ability to fully trust or relate to God as a father. If we have not known trustworthy people in our lives, if the authorities that we've known in our lives were untrustworthy, then it's hard for us to come to the realization that God can be trusted because God is the ultimate authority. And that's why it is so important for us that we model the Father's heart, amen, in our homes as fathers. Because our children are learning from our example, from our counsel. And there are no perfect fathers. We've all made mistakes, but we do have a perfect Heavenly Father. And when we grow up, we want to be like our Father. In every way. And God wants us to become like him. And he does a work in our lives, in our hearts of transformation to conform us to the image of Jesus. Amen. Because if you see Jesus, he says, you've seen the Father also. He was the express image of the Father. He came out of the bosom, amen, of the Father. And so, if your father was abusive or emotionally distant or even physically absent, again, it can be difficult to concept, you know, to overcome even any misconceptions about God as being a heavenly father, a loving heavenly father. And the psalmist said in Psalms 27:10, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And even so, people will fail you. Friends will fail you. Family will fail you. But God doesn't fail. And we need to always put our trust in Him. And Christianity, of course, is different from all other, if you will, religions or faiths of the world, because it's the only one that envisions God as a Father, as a loving Heavenly Father. And so Jesus taught His disciples to begin their prayers by saying, "Our Father who is in heaven." Amen. Luke 11:2. When you pray, "Our Father in heaven," right? Say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus, when He came, He profoundly changed the way people envisioned God or the way they looked at God. And in Jewish society, God was thought of as distant and unapproachable, almost agnostic, you know. But to speak of God as Father was revolutionary to the people that Jesus addressed. So Jesus wants us to know God has a Father's heart and that He is the Father of our spirits. As the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" So Jesus wants us to understand the fatherhood of God and to relate to Him as Father. And when Jesus poured out His heart to the Father as He was getting ready to go to the cross, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He used this word Abba to address His Father. In Mark 14:36, He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You, but take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." So Abba was the common Aramaic word with which a child would address his father. And Abba meant something like daddy, but with more reverence than we would use it today. So in Jesus' day, everybody used the word Abba, but no one used it in connection to God. And it meant something like really saying, "Dearest Father." So when we pray, the Lord wants us to see God as our dear Father, not our dear leader, but our dear Father. The Antichrist is addressed sometimes as the dear leader, right? But He is our dear Father. Amen. He's more than our leader. So the expression, "Our Father," it speaks of intimate communion with God and the same intimacy that exists between a child and their father. This is the way God wants us to see Him. Not as being some cold, distant, uninterested father, amen, but someone who really loves his child, has compassion, has mercy, wants to do us good. He doesn't want to do us harm. He is a good father. So when we pray, we need to recognize that God possesses a father's heart. And because He is good, we can trust Him. It's impossible to come to God as Father, however, except that a person is born again into the family through faith in Jesus. John 3:3, Jesus answered, said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So the Lord's Prayer is really for those who are part of the family of God, who can, through the new birth, now address Him as "Dearest Father." "To as many as received Him," John 1:12, "to them He gave the right or the authority to become the sons of God." We can now call upon our Father. Amen. Through the new birth, we are children of God. So this doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God is actually a contradiction to the teaching of Jesus. And that basically says, this universal fatherhood of God says, everybody is God's child. We're all children of God. Have you heard that? In John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. He's making a contrast between a slave and a son. Amen? In Adam, we are slaves to sin. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? In Christ, we are made alive again. Amen? And we are giving a new name, a new identity. We become children of God through this new birth. It's not a patching up of the old Adamic nature and improvement, but it's a transformation. With the old goes, the new comes. Amen? We have received a new nature, a new heart. He's put his spirit within us that now cries out, Abba, Father, dearest Father. But he says a son abides forever. In John 8:42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. How do we know that we love God? Because we love Jesus and we love his word. Amen. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. So God is every man's creator, but he is not every man's father. I'll say it again. God is every man's creator, but he's not every man's father. And being born again is not optional. You must be born again, he said. You will never see the kingdom of God unless you are born of the Spirit. It's the only means of first entering into the family of God through this new birth that Jesus made possible through his shed blood. Amen. Adoption is another word that speaks of privileges of this new birth. So when Paul talks about adoption, he's referring to the Roman practice of his day. So Paul explains adoption to the Romans. In Romans 8:15, he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So in Roman culture, the adopted person lost all rights in his old family, but he gained all the rights of a legitimate child in his new family. And we talk about this when we talk about water baptism, amen, as a cutting off of the old and entering into a new, leaving death and walking in new life, amen. It's a rite of passage. That I was once a sinner, amen, and separated from God, but now through Jesus Christ, I've been reconciled to God. I have become a child of his, amen, and now I can walk in new life with all the rights of a citizen of this new country, if you will. And we are now declared to be citizens of heaven through the birth, amen, the new birth in Jesus Christ. So the word adoption means to place as a son. And so this verse is really talking about being delivered from the bondage of sin and the fear of death, that we have been adopted into now the family of God. Now, here are some of the privileges of an adopted son. The adopted son was adopted permanently. Secondly, the adopted son immediately had all the rights of a legitimate son, right, in the new family. Thirdly, an adopted son received a new name. Did Peter receive a new name? The adopted son was looked upon as a new person. That meant the old debts, the obligations connected with his former family were canceled out and abolished as if they never existed. So once he was adopted into this new family, whatever was before was no longer held against him. He owed nothing. He was completely set free from all debt. Are you following this? So when we come to Jesus, what happens is we're taken out of our old sinful life in Adam, amen, and adopted into the family of God that's in Christ. So now we have a new Father. We were children of wrath. We were children of Satan. Amen. But through the new birth, through the blood, amen, and the life of Christ, we've been brought into harmony now, reconciled to our Father God. So we can now call him Abba, dearest Father. And when we address him, we must see him as our Father and not some distant, cold God that doesn't care, that just may pay attention to us someday. How many know that God actually hears the prayer of a saint? Through Jesus, we're brought into this close relationship. And it's so close that we're permitted to address him as Father, as dearest Father. In Ephesians 2:12, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So not only are we heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Jesus. Literally, we are given an equal share in the wealth of our Father. And it's not because we deserved it. It's not because we're good. It's because God is good and God is merciful. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wanted to reconcile man to himself. He wanted to call us sons and daughters. Amen? And he wanted to share his kingdom with us. Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen. How much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Amen. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive, again, the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." How do I know I'm a child of God? Because of the Holy Spirit that bears witness with my spirit. "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ as citizens of heaven with full rights of citizenship." Isn't that awesome? "If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, as a child of God, there are certain responsibilities and obligations before God. The Father, first of all, as any earthly father, so our heavenly Father desires that we would know him, that we would know his love, and that we would love him. Nothing pleases the heart of the Father more than receiving the love of his children. You know, when our children tell us they love us and they don't have an agenda, it rejoices our hearts, doesn't it? You know, we're all good at asking God for this and asking God for that. But just to tell God that you love him, just to know his heart as a father and to be able to tell him, "Father, I love you." It delights him. It brings joy to our Father when he knows that we love him for who he is and for what he's done for us. Amen. We recognize, we acknowledge his goodness. We acknowledge his love for us, his care for us, his concern for our wretched state. Amen. And when we were lost in transgression and sin and that we could not save ourselves, in mercy, God gave us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. That's how much God loves us. It brings us great joy when our children obey our loving instruction. Can you say amen? Amen? Because when they do, it means that they love and they trust us. You will obey those who you really trust. You will want to please the one that you love. Somebody say amen. Where there's genuine love for God, there will be a joyful acceptance of what he says, of his words. When you love God, you will love the word of God. You will cherish the word of God. When you love God, you will honor him as father. Malachi 1:6, the Lord said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Because even though he is Abba Father, he is dearest father, we must never forget that he is also sovereign Lord over all that he has created. That means everything we have and everything we are is because of him. And because of that, he deserves thanks and he deserves our worship. The Father wants us to be like him. Amen. Like father, like son. How many remember that commercial years ago? Well, the boy followed his daddy around everywhere, and everything his dad was doing, he was doing. He wanted to be just like his dad. And then all of a sudden, you know, one day the dad pulls out a cigarette and he lights it up and he lays the pack of cigarettes down, and the little boy picks it up and it says, like father. You see how much our lives affect as fathers our children. They're looking to us as an example. And we want to be an example to our kids, because we are representing our Heavenly Father to them. And when they see our example, amen, it's lining up with our Heavenly Father, then they will learn to know the heart of the Father through the example of the earthly Father. That's why fathers are important. And that's why fatherhood is under attack today by Satan. Because he knows if he can destroy fatherhood, amen, he causes all kinds of disruptions and dysfunction within families and confusion in the children. The Father wants us to be like him. And you know, even in our own families, like I looked at my dad's picture of when he was in the Navy. It's like, man, he looks like me when I was in the Army, in my picture, my early picture in the Army. It was a family resemblance, isn't there? And so likewise, as we abide in our Father, as we're being conformed into his likeness, we'll become more like him. We will show, yes, the earthly, but also the heavenly. Amen. So we will take on his characteristics. We'll become like him. Hallelujah. And you know, the more that you hang around a person, the more that person has the potential to influence you. That's why you need to hang around with the right kind of people. But Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. And here it is, how walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. How do we show our love to God? Well, first of all, by trusting him, right? Trusting his faithfulness, trusting that he's going to provide for us, trusting his protection, his correction, his instruction. Every father wants their children to trust them. We want people to know that our heart is good. Our heart is good towards our children. Amen. So when we are being an example to our children, they will learn to trust. Amen. That we are someone that can be trusted. And even though, like David said, even if his mother and father forsake him, God would not. He knew that God as father, and he knew that earthly fathers will fail and fall short of God's expectation. Amen. We want to model the best we can. Amen. The Lord to people. Amen. And to others and to our children. But ultimately, God is the perfect father. And when we grow up, we want to be just like him. Amen. In every way. So we show also our love for our Father when we are willing to receive his instruction, when we cherish his word. When there's a genuine love for God, there's going to be a joyful acceptance, right? Acceptance of his words into our hearts. That's why Psalms 119:11 said, David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. David loved God, and therefore David loved the word of God. He cherished it. He hid it in his heart. We show our love also by delighting in his company. That's prayer. loving His presence. Worship, amen. Psalms 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, you cannot help drawing near and keeping company with those that you love. If God is our Father, then we will desire to be with Him. We also show our love by speaking well about Him. How many ever spoke well of your father in school or on the playground or whatever, amen? I remember when we were kids, we used to kind of boast about our dads. Ever do that? What your dad does or, you know, his accomplishments or whatever? Yeah, we used to boast. Well, that's called praise. How many know we should be boasting on our Heavenly Father? We should be giving Him praise in the presence of others. We should be willing to say, hey, He's my God and He's awesome. He's my Father. And I want everybody to know my Father. And I want you to know the goodness of my Father, because He wants to be your Father too. You may be lost, you may be separated, but He wants to adopt you into His family and make you one of His own. And make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus and share all of His kingdom with you. Hallelujah. That's what God desires for all. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Amen. We show our love by speaking well, boasting about Him, praising Him. Great is the Lord. Psalms 138, 5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, there's shouting in the Bible. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. We also show our love by being willing to suffer for His name. I used to get upset if somebody said something about my dad or my mom. And I wasn't ashamed of them. Amen. At least there was a time, maybe when you're a teenager, things begin to shift. But when you're a child, amen? And we need to remain children before God, amen? But you're not ashamed to identify yourself with those you love. Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. You make your boast on God. Amen? We claim Him. He is my God. He is my Father. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. Amen. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In Mark 8:38, it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We show our love to God by wanting to be like him again. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We show our love for the Father by desiring to please him. Mark 14:36, and Jesus said, Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Not my will, but your will be done. How do we show our love to God? By trusting him. Amen? By speaking well of him. By desiring to be with him, to please him. And by loving one another. In 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Dads, if you love God, you will follow his instruction and example when it comes to be a father and a husband. God wants us to be that example to our families. And we have a great responsibility, don't we? As the head of the family. And if we give our children everything that they want, and yet we don't give them Jesus, it would all have been in vain. And the most precious gift we can give our children is Jesus. And remember this, the only way for us to be good earthly fathers is to have a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. You cannot model God the Father, amen, in heaven if you don't have that relationship with Him. But as we have a relationship with God our Father, then we can model that to our children. They will see the reality of that. So what do we do? The Bible says, let us draw nearer to God, our Father, and He is the lover of our souls. In His presence, we have been authorized through the new birth and through the blood to come with confidence to our Father's throne of grace. And when we're in His presence, we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Come, let us draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. You will become like the one you spend time with, the one that you're intimate with. You become like that person. Husbands and wives, as they grow through the years, if they continue in the marriage, they become more and more like each other. How many have heard that? You even start to look like each other. Yeah. Sorry, honey. But we want to become like our Father, our Heavenly Father, in every way. So we have the privilege today to come with confidence, with boldness to our Father's throne. Why? Because as sons and daughters, we have access. We're not slaves that have to stand outside and ask for permission. Amen. The blood has already taken care of that. Amen. We can now come with confidence because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. That qualifies us to be in our Father's presence. So we come boldly now and call upon the Father. And being a good father, He wants to give good things, good gifts. He wants to give His Spirit to His children because He knows that without Him, we can't do anything. But all things are made available to us. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, the knowledge of Him. We can come to Him now. Amen. Do you love God? If you love God, then you love His presence. If you love God, then you love His word. If you love God, then you want to boast about your God. If you love God, then you'll confess God before men. Amen. He's our Father. Remember that. When you come before Him as a loving Father who cares very much about every aspect of your life, every detail of your life He cares about. He sees it all. He said even the very hairs of your head are numbered, right? And He said even a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground apart from your Father. Amen? Knowing about it. So let's take advantage of the opportunity. And let us approach His throne with boldness. Amen? Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Just take a moment right now and talk to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Holy Father, we give You glory. Father, we thank You for loving us, caring for us. Lord, You look down upon us in our lost state. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. But Father, You in Your love and Your mercy, You gave your son Jesus to die, to become an offering, to pay our debt. Lord, you loved us so much, you were willing to lay down your life for your sheep. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you for the cross, for the stripes that you bore, Lord, for you suffered for us because you loved us that much. Lord, we want to know your love. We want to know the Father's love. We ask that you would shed your love abroad in our hearts, Father. God, thank you so much that you've given us a family, Lord, brothers and sisters of like precious faith, that we can gather together in this place today, Lord, knowing we all have the same Father. And Father, we want to make you known. We want to present your heart to the world. We want the world to see your goodness. For it is your goodness that leads us to repentance. Use us for your glory. Father, make us a blessing that out of our lives Jesus would shine. Oh God, use us for your glory. How can we love you back, Father? How can we bring you pleasure? By offering ourselves back to you and by loving one another. Teach us how to love, Father. Teach us how to walk in your presence. Oh, as we rely upon your grace. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Oh God, thank you. You've sent your Spirit into our hearts, crying out. And the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. God wants you to have fellowship. Your heavenly Father wants to have fellowship with you. He was knocking on the door of a church, Laodicea. He says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If you will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Father, we open the door and we say, come in. Come in, Holy Spirit. Have your way here. Have your way in me. Lord, revive us again. Bring us back to life again. Wake us up inside. Bring us to full flame. Give us holy passion to glorify your name. Lord, let your fire fall. Purify your people, Lord. Make us holy. Prepare us, Lord. For we know the day is coming when the Father will say, Son, go get your children. Make us ready, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, Lord. Not the things of this world. For you're coming for a bride. You're coming for a holy people. You're coming for those who are looking for you, who are living for you. God, help us. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.